Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the lifestyle coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. Hi guys, this is Lydia, the lifestyle coach, and what we are doing here is ending eating disorders, and that is food crazies, body hate, food obsession, it's binge eating, it's bulimia, it's overeating, it's emotional eating, it's stress eating, it's the if you had this relationship with food for the rest of your life, would that be okay with you? And if the answer is no, then those are the things that we fix and end here. And we're so, so excited to share an incredible woman with you today. Like, just such a person of excellence, such a person of incredible hard work and an amazing heart, and like, so many women who get eating disorders, like just a really cool person. And I'm really excited for you to, you know, share and celebrate with her as we celebrate today her incredible journey from being in an eating disorder to being able to be free and not have an eating disorder anymore. And without further ado, let's go ahead and introduce Emily. Hello. Welcome. It's so, so fun to see you here, Emily. And oh, I'm just so excited to celebrate you. So as always, let's go ahead and get started with, tell us a little bit like about you, where this all began, like sort of the early stages of how you were seeing your eating disorder come up for you.
Yeah. So I am not one of the women who have had this for 20 years. I lived my whole life thin and in control of food, and sometimes I'd have something yummy if I wanted it, but I was all about health, and I treated my body like a temple. And all of a sudden, a little over a year ago, I started like binging every once in a while, and that really scared me. And for me, my weight was everything. I had been the same weight since I was in high school, and I worked really hard for that. So when all of a sudden I'm binging, I had to do something about it. And I started purging, which I just felt like, who is this person? Like, this is not me. I've heard, you know, I knew all about, like, I actually worked in the eating disorder field. So I knew all about bulimic women. And I had such a heart for them, but I wasn't one of them. And before I know it, I'm looking for therapists. I'm, you know, doing diets. I'm doing all these different things because I was out of control, binging and purging, several times a day, several days a week. And my life just became a nightmare. All of the things that I had heard while I was working in the eating disorder field that like bulimic women would do, that I would just hear about and I'd go, oh my gosh, that's awful. Like, purging at work, binging and purging at work. When I first heard about that, I thought like, how can you do that? Then I was doing it. And my life became just this living hell. I had, like I said, I had always been like what I call healthy or what I called healthy, but really that was like my weight and everything. So I tracked calories and I exercised but my calorie tracking became my life. My exercise became my life. What I was going to eat next became my life. Like I live from meal to meal, and just the food obsession was horrible. And I know I shared this with you before, but
yes. Oh my gosh, this yeah. This is just so crazy, you guys. I'm just like, I've absolutely been there. And Emily, it's amazing. So tell us a story about like, well, you found this, like you stumbled upon it, and then yeah, give us a little tour of what this is. And for those listening to the audio, describe it a little bit. So even if people can't see it, like flesh that out a little bit.
So it's actually this really super cute calendar. It looks like something, I remember when I bought it being like, oh my gosh, this is so me. And, so this is actually documentation of my dive into an eating disorder. And basically I would keep it in my bathroom under my bathroom sink next to my scale. And I would just track absolutely everything. So I have my body weight, my body fat percentage, the amount of calories that I ate that day, the amount of whatever I did for my workout, sometimes including the amount of calories that I burned, because if I'm on a machine that tells me, you know, and then there's all these little things that say BMP, which means binge and purge. And I was trying so hard not to do that. And the harder I tried, the more I did it. And it was horrible. There's sometimes just little messages in here because I was just so frustrated. So I would just write, like, what's wrong with you? Like, I hate you so much. Like, and what's sad is that there's sometimes like little, like it is a calendar. And so sometimes there's like, oh, Daniel's birthday, you know, like that's my brother. And it's just like, so this was like my life. Like this is, I was tracking everything on here. And I can just watch my weight go, you know, plummet or go skyrocket up and then plummet down and then back up and back down. And of course that high number was getting higher and higher, as was that the low number. Everything just kept going up. And I finally started keeping track of my bowel movements because I was afraid that was affecting my weight. Like that's how crazy I was. I had one really horrible day in here where I made a little note, SI, and we used to, when I was working the eating disorder field, which I stopped in the middle of all this, SI is what we'd use if someone was suicidal, meaning they had suicidal ideation. And I'm actually, like, as horrifying as this is, I was so glad to find it. I just found it on Thursday morning, and I was so glad to find it because it's, even though I've only been free from my eating disorder, like I started your program in April, it is now August, I've only been free for a few months, and yet this person, I don't know her. I vaguely remember living like this, you know? And what I think is just like the best thing about this calendar, my absolute favorite thing is that the very last entry is on April 6th, and it says signed up for Lydia's program. And all the entries after that are just completely blank. There's nothing there in the rest of the calendar. And that's the truth of my story. Like I signed up for your program and I did the work, and my eating disorder completely disappeared, totally disappeared. It's gone.
Oh my gosh, there's so much here. It's like, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being willing to be open and share that. And yeah, it brings me back. Like I tracked all the same things. I had apps and I had spreadsheets. And what was really the scariest thing for you, having this hard evidence in this tracking and just being able to undeniably see your weight going up, suicidal thoughts, like being in this place where you're seeing the binges and purges get worse every single time, that like every single phase of like trying to work harder to end this. Like, what was the scariest thing of really seeing what was truly happening, Emily?
The scariest thing was that, like I said, I had worked in eating disorders. I knew that there was no, like, they basically told me when I started working there, like, there's no cure, there's no this. These women, the best we can do is help them to deal with this for the rest of their life. And I just felt like, who is this? Like, I felt like, it just wasn't me. I had always been in control of food, always. And I could just see myself spiraling. It was getting worse and worse and worse. And to think that there was no hope out there was, I mean, I was crying myself to sleep every single night. Part of me was going like, there has to be something. This just came months ago. Like, this came out of the blue. And I think that was the most frustrating thing, is that I could just look back just a few months and go like, I wasn't doing this. What happened? And now I know what happened, but like, I just was so close to being a normal eater. Like, it was just a few months away, and yet I couldn't do anything to get back to it. Everything I was trying was getting me further ahead. And the therapy was the worst. The therapy was the absolute worst, because 2 years before this all happened, I had gotten out of a really, really horrible, violent relationship. And I worked so hard to get out of that relationship alive. And that man took so much from me. And the therapist was telling me, like, yeah, this is probably because of that. And I was angry. I thought, I got rid of him. How is he still destroying my life? And that was, I would just get so angry. Like, how is it that, like, so no matter what I do then, he still has control over me? And that was the worst. That was the absolute worst.
Emily, I think this is so, so important. And thank you for sharing these pieces of your journey, because think of, you were in a place where you could see just a few months ago, and you knew what normalcy felt like. And so there were parts of you that were like, well, there's no way that, like, that's so weird that it just came up and I should be able to get back there. But I want you guys to really hear me on this and understand. Emily quickly recovered and doesn't have an eating disorder anymore. There are women who have been doing this for 45 years, who started this when they were 6 years old, have no memories of normal eating, and still quickly recover from their eating disorder, and they're at the same place as Emily. Yeah. So I want you guys to truly understand that there isn't like this timeline where it's like, oh, well, you're too broken. It's not like we saved Emily before she broke all the way. Like, she wasn't broken. We just showed her how to not have an eating disorder anymore. So that's the first thing that I want to highlight here, because this is so important. The next thing is be aware. And I usually speak about, like, okay, this is what we do, like, this is our freedom, but this also needs to be spoken to. Is when somebody is telling you that you are broken and it's never going to get better and you're never going to fix this, and you know what, it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the horrible trauma that happened to you. Too bad that just broke you too much, and now you're going to have to live with it every single day of your life with your eating disorder. That is not true.
No.
It's just not true. And we see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of examples of that. Yeah, some really hard stuff happened to Emily. Some hard stuff happened to me. Some hard stuff happened to most of the women who have eating disorders, not because they have eating disorders, because they're women. And bad stuff happens. And it's not fair, and it's not right, and it's horrible. But it doesn't mean that because somebody hurt you in the past, now you have to hurt yourself every day of your life. And when you really check in with yourself, I think you will feel that as well. Of, that's not fair, and that's not right, and that's not true. And Emily is such an amazing witness of that. So what was it for you, Emily, that in the midst of, like, working in the eating disorder treatment industry, of being told, oh, well, the best that we can do for these women is to, like, help them to squeak by and maybe have some relief some days from this thing they're always going to struggle with. And, oh, well, it's because, you know, you were in this relationship, and that, like, with all of these voices telling you that you were always going to be broken, now things are doomed. What was it that gave you that strength in those dark moments to not believe that?
I think for me specifically, it was because I had just was able to see months ago, I wasn't this, but I went beyond the research that I had been doing in the eating disorder field. And I was looking online for anything and everything. And I found your videos on YouTube, And that was that like glimmer of hope, like that message, like you're not broken. Like, okay, you know, yeah, you were molested as a kid. You were, you know, this, you were that. Go take care of that. But if you want to take care of your eating disorder, let's just take care of it. Let's just get rid of it. You don't have to go through all of this pain and anguish to end your bulimia, your binge eating, your food crazies. Like you don't even have to go there. And just hearing that, and I just knew that, like, I knew in my heart that had to be true, because I have worked so hard to change my life, to get an education, to do all of these things. And so I had seen my life change, and I had seen me go from a place where I was, you know, just like in these horrible relationships, to now, like, I'm a single mom. Like, I just got my degree. I'm kicking ass at life. I was building a life I really loved. So if I could do all of that, then I had to be able to get out of the eating disorder. So when I heard your videos and your message, like, that rang true to me. I was like, finally somebody has something for me. I always had that little bit of hope inside me, you know, like I knew that I had to have some sort of way out. But then when I started hearing what you were saying in your videos, I was like, yes, finally, this is finally something that really just rang true with me.
That's so beautiful. And, you know, it's the hard thing is that to still have that hope, you know, after so many months or so many years, and like, but if you have that, then just know that there is a way out. Yeah. And I remember being in that same position of just like, I just couldn't believe that despite all of the work that I had done too, because a big thing for me was like to not be a slave to anything, right? Like, yeah. I didn't want to be a slave. I didn't want to have any sort of addictions. Like I really did care about health. And I'm like, how is it that I can try so hard and then I just accidentally get an eating disorder and now the rest of my life is doomed? Like, I just refused to believe that. And good thing, because it's not true. But yeah, like, you know, in even though that you had this sort of like, there's got to be a way in the background that was happening for you, Emily, what would you say was really sort of one of your biggest fears before you knew that you could fix this as you were seeing this happen? Like, what were you really afraid of happening?
Well, at that time, I had identified myself as my weight, because being really thin my whole life, I was just complimented. I mean, ever since I was like 11, 12 years old, complimented on how thin I was. So for me, I was not just gaining weight, I was losing my identity. I didn't know who I was at this extra weight. And my thought was like, it's crazy because this is not my biggest fear now, but my biggest fear then was like, I'm not going to even be able to live. If I just gain even just 10 more pounds, like, I can't live this life. Like, I cannot live 10 pounds heavier. And it's just so funny because that just sounds so crazy to me now. Like, who cares? It's 10 pounds. Like, but then, like, I really was suicidal, because not just because of the weight, but because, like, I had no clue who this was. And I could only see it getting worse. Every single time I thought, like, okay, I finally lost a few pounds. Boom. I gained it back and more within a week. Like, that, and that calendar shows me, like, I will gain 8 pounds in a week, and then I lose 4, and then I gain 7, and then I lose 3, and then I gain 8, like, all within just a week. You know, that's like a week's measurement. So to me, I was losing my mind. I had no control of myself, and I didn't want to live that life, and I didn't want to live at a higher weight, because I just didn't know how. I didn't see myself. I would kind of say this, like, if this goes on for another year, I'm just going to end it. Like, I can't live like this. if this goes on for so many more pounds, like, that's it. Like, and I just kind of made these little, if I get here, that's it. Just end it. I was done.
And what was the hardest thing for you about being in a place, Emily, where you were making those marks for yourself and getting closer to those marks? Like, who are you most worried about leaving behind, or like, what was the saddest thing about that?
The saddest thing is that I had lived most of my life in controlling relationships and not getting to do what I wanted to do. And I had finally broken free of that. I got the education I had always wanted. I now have my degree in cognitive neuroscience. I was getting to finally make my own choices. I finally met a man who treated me amazing. And I, like, we just fit on every level. We fit. We were perfect for each other. I finally had my dream life. And I was not enjoying life. I was out of control. And I wanted to die. I finally had the life that I always wanted. And I would go like, Emily, look at this. You have everything you want. And none of it's worth it because of my eating disorder. My eating disorder made that just absolutely unlivable. And that's the hardest part. I had in my mind, like, kind of told myself, like, because I have a son who is like my absolute heart. He's 16 years old, and I had kind of lied to myself, like, this eating disorder made me feel like so inhuman and so less than, that I felt like I was able to kind of justify suicidal ideation, because I just felt like I'm not his mom anymore. Whoever his mom was has now, this is a crazy person who yells at him, who gets angry at him, who has completely, he would be like, Mom, where's the peanut butter? And I was like, oh, you know what, we're not gonna have peanut butter anymore. Instead we're gonna have this. Like, he would open the cupboards and there'd be nothing there because I couldn't have food in the house anymore because I would eat it all. I stopped buying him bread. He had no cereal. He had nothing. And so in my mind, I just felt like I am no longer a mom. I'm this like horrible person. Like, he will be better off without me. Like, and I just had this idea because, like, I was such a great mom. I am a great mom. But like, when I was eating disordered, he was not my focus at all. I felt so guilty. I felt so guilty. And yet I couldn't change it. I couldn't just buy a loaf of bread. I couldn't just, you know what I mean? Like, he was basically eating at school and coming home and having like whatever weird health food I was eating that week that was like no calorie, you know.
That is, your story is so powerful, Emily. And you know, one thing that we say is that like the worst part is the best part when you're free, because it's like, yeah, like how difficult things are is just like the craziest part of the story, because now you're on the other side of it. And I love your strength and how you have shown up and done the work. And you showed up in this program coachable and ready and willing to do things that were scary and outside of your comfort zone. And you were just like, oh, just such a joy to coach, because you did the things that work that we were showing you. And okay, so let's look at it this way. Tell us, what was sort of like your first glimpse of freedom? Like, once you were in the program, like, what was sort of the first thing that dawned on you where you're like, oh, I can do this and I couldn't do before? Or like, what was the first thing that happened where you saw it working?
It's almost hard to remember. I remember a lot of things, but like the very first one, I think it was realizing what allowance truly meant. Because I had been like, okay, like, and that was the scariest thing. Like, okay, I'm allowed to eat whatever I want. Like, that was the scariest idea to me. But I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I was at the grocery store and I passed by, and I'm calling out the chatter, but I passed by the ice cream section And my favorite ice cream was on sale. And I was like, I'm supposed to allow. So that means like I have to buy it, right? And I remember I ended up spending like I don't know how long in the grocery store, like going back and forth, like, am I supposed to buy it? Am I not supposed to buy it? Like, I have to buy it. Like, just all this chatter. And I ended up not buying it. And I got in the car and I was like, I think I failed. And then like, I just remembered like, there is no fail. There's no fail in any of this. There's no possible way to fail. And then I, all of a sudden, I remember just having this total clarity, like, oh, I'm allowed. So that means if I don't want it, I don't have to have it. And if I do want it, yeah, if I do want it, I can have it. And it just like all of a sudden, I was like, I can come back later tonight if I do want it. I could come back tomorrow. But and like I just had this like huge weight taken off of me of the shoulds, of the have to's, of the like, am I doing, like, what am I supposed to do? Like I did, and like, because I'm trying, my whole mind's trying to like think like, how am I supposed to do this right? And then all of a sudden, like I have that clarity, like I didn't do it wrong. Because there is no doing it right or wrong. There's none of that. And that was huge. And then I think the very next day, I forgot to eat breakfast because I was so busy at work and focused on my work. Like, yeah, that was huge because I get to work like really early, or I used to get to work really early in the morning. And so I'd eat. I was allowed to eat breakfast at 8 o'clock. And, like I would wait for that 8 o'clock to roll around. I was just clock watching until 8 o'clock rolled around and I was allowed to have my bowl of oatmeal. And I think it was like 9:30 and I'm just like doing my thing. I'm in my groove at work. And I was like, well, one, I totally forgot to eat. And like, I totally forgot to eat because I'm focused on work and enjoying what I'm doing and in this groove. And that was huge because that's how I used to always be. Like, I love work. I love being productive. And I would just get lost in it all the time, but not since the eating disorder. Like there's no way I could get lost in work because my mind is just constantly going to food.
Oh, I love that. So beautiful. And yeah, it's so fun to, you know, visit like those first like wake up moments. Right. And yeah. You know, what I want to bring awareness to is this is a really big fear that comes up for people because there's so much information out there. And if people sort of have the spark of like, well, maybe I just need to not diet anymore. One, that feels really scary. And then the second thing is that like you and a lot of us, like we care about health, right? So it's like, okay, well, am I going to have an eating disorder and ruin my health? Or am I going to binge on chocolate and bread and just not care and eat candy all the time and gain 400 pounds and have diabetes and die from that? Both those things are horrible. And it is a false dichotomy. Like, it's like, so that's so beautiful. And like, you know, really understanding the principles you're teaching you and having this relief and like, ah, oh, so, so cool. And let's talk about freedom. So what is it like to not have an eating disorder anymore? What is different on the side of it? Like, how is your relationship with food different? How is your relationship with yourself different? Like, tell us about freedom.
Like, I don't even, it's funny because you say like relationship with food and I'm like, oh, do I have a relationship with food? Are we an item? I don't know. like, I just, I get hungry and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I guess it's time to eat. And I'm like, what do I want to eat? And I look at all the food that I have and I'm like, oh, that sounds good. Or like, oh, I don't know. And like, sometimes I'll be, this is the craziest thing. I'll be physically hungry. But I can't find anything that I want. Like, what is that? Like, where before, like, if there was food, I had to eat it. And now I can be physically hungry and be like, gosh, none of this looks good. I guess I'll just have a sandwich. Like, because I am hungry, so I'm going to eat something, but none of this even looks good. Where before, like, everything looked good. Crazy stuff looked good. But yeah, really, I remember when you said in a video that you didn't really, you realized you didn't really like peanut butter. And I was like, them are fighting words. And Now I get it. It's just like this, like it can be good in certain things. And of course it's good with chocolate, but like I used to like eat it out of the jar. That was the very first thing to go. The very first food that was gone from the house. And now like it's tasty, it's earthy, and before it was like heaven. And it's like, what is this? It's just, it's so weird. But yeah, now yesterday was a great case in point. So my mom's house used to be my place of refuge. But during my eating disorder, I had that down as a trigger because she just had so much snack foods and it's always out. And I would just binge. I would binge and purge at my mom's house. And that was just the absolute worst thing. But yesterday we were celebrating some birthdays. And I, first of all, I was driving to my mom's house. And I realized that because I had woken up and I wanted to get out of the house as soon as possible, it's like a 2-hour drive. I was like packing and I was getting stuff ready. And I totally forgot about breakfast because I wasn't thinking about food. So I get to my mom's house and I was like, oh, hey, I'm going to go look and see what you have to eat. And there was so much food. And I was like, none of it looks good. I'll have a string cheese. Like that was, and then I'm driving home from my mom's house, like later at night. I got in at like 9:30 and I realized like, did I eat dinner? Like I forget to eat because I'm enjoying the people that I'm with. And it's just like food isn't a thing. It's just not a thing. Oh, I do enjoy it. Like, I love to cook. I love, but it's not a big deal. You know, it's just not. Like, I get to enjoy my life. I enjoy the people that I'm with. My relationship with my partner, like, he has seen such a huge difference in me because he would just see me anxious. So much anxiety when I'm like, what do you do with your partner? You go on dates. And dates are usually at restaurants. And it was, I was not with him. I was freaking out about like, am I binging? Is this too much? I'm just going to have the salad. Like everything was food. And now food is nothing. It's something that I enjoy when I have it, but I don't have to have it, you know? It's huge.
So huge. And I think that this is such a great, great thing to sink into. And first of all, just celebrating you and celebrating just like these amazing things that have happened, these transformations. And it's so funny that some of the biggest celebrations are just like that it's a non-issue. Like we get in this place where like, oh, like if I could just have control over food someday, oh, if I could just get through the day and do what I plan to do. And real freedom is that it's a non-issue. Non-issue. Yeah. You don't plan how much you're going to breathe that day. You know, it's just like, right. It's just like a right. Totally natural, like, oh, hey, this sounds good. I love that you bring that up. In fact, just the other night, my partner and I, we wanted to, you know, go out and just, you know, go out to dinner. And man, in the past, on my eating disorder, it would be like, I would get way overly excited about that, but also really scared. And I would have to look up all the restaurants and I would have to make sure that I had a campaign to enlist everyone into the restaurant that I decided that I needed to go to because it had a thing that I could eat. And then like, I'd find the best thing on the menu. And it would just be like this huge stressful thing. And I remember just like sort of like pacing around the backyard and being like, oh, Mexican doesn't sound good. And Chinese doesn't sound good. And Italian doesn't sound good. And I don't know. Let's just get in the car and drive around and like find somewhere. Like, and we found like this new place that we hadn't been to. And it was just like, oh, the wonderful joys of being able to just live life and not have it be focused around food.
Yeah. And like baking used to be my thing. And especially like baking bread. Like I just love to bake and to cook. And that was taken away from me because like what during my eating disorder, baking was not my zen moment. Like instead it was just like, am I going to eat all of this? I shouldn't. Okay. Just make sure you're not allowed to lick your fingers. You're not like all these rules would come up and guilt would come up and anxiety. And now like I think the last thing that I made was like these really beautiful little date and tahini cookies. Well, it wasn't the last thing I baked, but, and I enjoyed the process of making them. And they tasted so good. And they lasted a week and a half. Like that's the other thing is like, and something that my son loves is that there's food in the house. There's so much food in the house. There is, oh, we had a party at my work a few weeks ago. And there was like, all, like they basically, this is hilarious. That was another thing, like I hated going into work. I was so afraid of what somebody brought in. We had parties all the time at my work. The very last party at my work, I share a really huge office with two other people. They decided to take the potluck and put it in our office. And I enjoyed every minute of it. I think I ended up having like a donut and some fruit. And there were bagels left over. And I was like, you know what? I'm totally going to take those home for my partner and my son because they would totally love those. And I think there's still a package in the freezer and like half a package in the cupboard. And they're just there for when people want them. And that's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. This is freedom. And it's not just the freedom of not having an eating disorder anymore, which is wonderful. But yeah. Having you back, having your identity of like that, and to a greater extent, like you're not defined by your thinness anymore. And you're not defined by, like, tell us a little bit about how you've changed, Emily, just like your identity and who you are because of this journey.
Okay. So I was just having this conversation with one of the graduates another graduate of the program who I just love. And we were kind of talking about I told her, like, honestly, before my eating disorder, I would go to restaurants with my now ex-husband and his friends, and they would eat so much junk, and I would have like my beautiful ahi tuna salad, and I was so self-righteous. I was thin and I was healthy, and I would never have admitted this then, better than everybody else. I judged so hard.
Yeah.
I judged women for what they wore. Like, whoa, girl, that's a cute outfit, but you're too big for it. Like, I'm just being honest here. That's who I was. I never would have admitted that before. Before, I would have been like, oh no, I love everybody. Everybody's great. Women are come in different sizes. No, that is not what the chatter was saying. The chatter was judging myself on my size and everybody else too. And I was on such a high horse, and I fell off that high horse. Then that high horse trampled me. Like, but it's so good because I see true value in women. I don't see them as a size. I don't see them as being better than me or not as good as me. Like, and when I see a woman who's like way thinner than me, like before it used to be this like, ooh, like, I should be that. That's who I should be. Like, I am less than right now. And now it's just like, you go, girl. And you also, who's bigger than me, you go, girl. Like, I like celebrating all these bodies. I remember I told Coach Miliana that, like, I had to do that. Like, when I'd be, like, on my jog, which now my exercise is totally different too, but I'd be, like, on my run. And every single body that would be running opposite me, I'd be like, I celebrate your body. I celebrate your body. I celebrate your body, because I just had to get out of that judgmental state.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say this. Okay, so I used to watch these Freedom Stories before I signed up for your program, and I hung on to every word. So I'm gonna say this for the women who might be where I was before. I was afraid of body acceptance because I was so afraid that meant that, like, even if I got to this place where I didn't care what size I am, like, I didn't want that, because that might mean I might not be thin, and that can't be okay. Like, I almost didn't want true body acceptance because that would mean that I wasn't fighting so hard to be thin. So what I'm gonna say is I was fighting so hard to lose weight and be thin. And I was gaining weight, I was gaining weight, I was gaining weight. My weight finally started to kind of plateau when I was in your program, because I wasn't, you know, binging and stuff. I stopped weighing myself because who cares? But I've been eating to eat. I have been enjoying food. I haven't been binging. I've just been eating like what I want. And about 2 weeks ago, I noticed my clothes starting to fit looser. And this I'm at that place where I'm getting so much more body acceptance, but to think of how hard I used to work to lose weight, and now when I'm not trying, when that is not my goal, when my goal is just to live my life, and now my clothes are fitting looser, like, what's going on? Like, it, you know, that, don't be afraid of body acceptance. Don't be afraid of all that stuff, because you're going to live a life that you didn't realize was so much better. I mean, this is living. This is living, finally. You know, I'm getting that. But like, it's, yeah, not like, just not having that mindset of like, that number on the scale means either a good day or a bad day. It means either you're a good person or a bad person. And my biggest thing is just not judging other women. Like, that's just huge, because I hate it. I hate it when men judge other women or judge women on their shape. And here, that's exactly what I was doing every day.
Yeah. And I love what you said about just, this is living. Like, this is truly living. Like, you know, the layers of all of the strain and the judgment and the perfectionism and the control and the, even the stuff that we, like you said, get on our high horse about, oh, this is healthy. This is the way I want to be. And then it's like, wait, there is like a better way to live.
Yeah.
And a healthier way to live. And a true definition of health, instead of just like, you know, something that like is so like suffocating. And
yeah.
You're just such a wonderful example of that, Emily. And I am so, so thrilled to celebrate you, and huge congratulations. And I'm so excited for your story and your life, and for it to just keep getting better, because that's exactly what it does. Oh, and I'm just so, so thrilled for you. So thank you for sharing your story. We're celebrating you. Anything else on your mind for today? Any sort of like, this is, you know, something on your heart, or do you feel like we are complete?
I just want to say, like, this, the program has just been, like, there's no way I could put a value on the program. And I just have so much gratitude for you and for what you've done for me, and to the coaches and to the other women that were in the program with me at the time. Like, I have gratitude for them, because, like, you, it's just, like, this program, the way that you've built it, like, every single little part, like, is meant for freedom. Like, every little tiny thing, I, like, now that I'm looking back, I'm like, I see that, like, there was no extraneous bits, you know what I mean? Every little part of it got me towards freedom, and I have so much gratitude for that. And I had to borrow some money from my parents to pay for the program. And I don't borrow money. I don't ask for help. That was a thing. Like, I do this on my own. And when I came to my mom, and I had kind of told her what was going on, but when I finally was just real with her and I told her what was happening, and I said, I'm sorry, but I need to borrow this money. She was like, Emily, she was so happy to be able to help. And I didn't realize that she had been waiting to help me. She had been wanting to help me, but she didn't know how. And I never thought I'd be glad to borrow money from my parents, especially at this age. But I'm so happy every time I see them that they can see who I am now. I'm like, that's the best money they ever invested. You know what I mean? And paying it, like, I don't mind paying this money back, because I'm paying it without an eating disorder. Like, huge. But like, I just, like, I love, like, just seeing my parents and being the me that they know, you know what I mean? That they really know. And they just know, like, that. I just love that they were like a part of, they supported me in everything. They are the best. But like, I'm almost glad that they got to be part of that. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's the best investment I have ever made. I'd make it 100 times over.
And Emily, this is you, and this is your life. And like, it's such a beautiful thing to be able to celebrate that. And thank you for sharing that. And a lot of times we don't realize, you know, that people, you know, want to help. And what I love about you is that you're committed. And so you're going to get resourceful. You're going to do what you need to do, right? It's like, yeah, they would probably rather help than pay for your funeral.
Right.
Like,
yeah. And that was the road that I was on.
Yeah.
That's where I was going.
And Emily, I'm so, so thrilled you are alive, that you are healthy, that you don't have an eating disorder, and know that you are so, so deeply loved, not because of all of your successes, but because you're you. Like, and you have such incredible value and worth and light, and now that gets to be in the world because it's not being covered up by this oppression anymore. And we're just so happy for you, and thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for my freedom.
Oh, so beautiful. And you guys, as you're listening to this, and you know, as this resonates with you, like, if you want to be done, it just comes down to one simple thing. Like, if you don't want an eating disorder anymore, and if you want this to be done, it can be, but it's got to be something where you've got to show up for you. And that's why we give you an opportunity to do that. And we're here to walk you through really the foundation of freedom and what you need. And we do that with a free breakthrough session. And that's something that we offer to anyone who truly wants to change. And it's super simple.
Pop over to LydiaLifestyle.com/session. That's LydiaLifestyle.com/session.
Free breakthrough session. And we are going to guide you in the foundation of what you need so that you can know how to truly end this. And Emily, thank you so much for being on and sharing. And we love you so much. And we'll see you guys soon. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, and Emily signing off. Bye, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to LydiaLifestyle.com/session. That's LydiaLifestyle.com/session, where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on three things. 1, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. 2, what isn't working with your approach. And 3, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah!